The phantom little girl calling 911 from my address. A story posted by Urban Achiever 95. I live in a smallish suburban town. A few years ago, while watching TV with my wife and kids in the upstairs bedroom, there was a knock at our front door. I thought this was pretty odd because it was about 10 p.m. and we don't have any friends or family who would have had any reason to come over uninvited at that hour. I looked out the window and saw a police car parked in the front of the house. I was concerned, wondering, what the heck were they doing at my house? I went downstairs to answer the door and was greeted by two police officers, one at the door and the other standing at a distance. The one at the door told me that they'd received a 911 call from this address, a little girl crying that she needed help. He wouldn't share any details beyond that. I was confused and dumbfounded. I do have two daughters, one a teenager and the other 9 at the time, but they've been sitting next to me watching TV for at least the last couple of hours. I explained this to the officer. He believed me, but was still a bit suspicious, since he kept repeating that the call had came from my address. Either way, the officers stuck around for a little while, chatting, calling out codes on their radios, and talking to the neighbors nearby. And after about half an hour, they left. A couple of months later, around 9 p.m., my wife and I were watching TV. Our oldest daughter was in her room, and our youngest was sleeping over at her friend's house. Once again, there was a knock at the door. Two cops walking around my front yard. I thought, seriously? I answered the door to the same story. A little girl had called 911 needing help. And these were two different officers. I told them the same thing had happened a couple of months earlier, and they already knew. I told them my youngest daughter wasn't even home. And they asked if they could come in and look around, and I agreed. If they suspected a little girl was in trouble in my house, the last thing I needed was to look uncooperative. They checked all the rooms and asked my oldest daughter if she had been calling 911. She had just been playing a game online. They checked with my wife and saw everything seemed normal. No little girls tied up anywhere, and left. And after walking around the yard for about half an hour, they left. And not 20 minutes later, they showed right back up. I was starting to get frustrated and freaked out. Apparently, the girl had called again, this time screaming for help. This time, the officers seemed convinced that it was some kind of prank, and I could sense their frustration. One of them, who I believe was the sergeant, said that it was a waste of resources for them to keep coming out to my house. I pleaded that no one was calling from inside my house and offered to let them check our phones, but they declined. Same routine as before, they walked around the yard, talked to my neighbors, and another officer or two showed up. They all conferred for a bit and eventually left. For days after, I worried that it would happen again, and thankfully, it's been 4 years now and it hasn't. To this day, I have no explanation. Was a girl really in trouble somewhere and the cellular lines got crossed? Was someone spoofing my address as a prank? Or was it something else entirely? To the man who hunted me through downtown Long Beach, let's not meet again. Posted by Prior Emu, 5918. I'm still shaking while writing this, but I'm posting it as a warning to anyone walking alone at night, and honestly, as a reminder to trust your gut no matter what. 2 nights ago, I was walking by myself in downtown Long Beach. If you know the area, I was walking from the Pike to the Westin Hotel parking structure to get my car. The walk itself is 10 minutes. To give you some context, usually I am completely oblivious when I walk. I love walking and I love being by the beach. I always wear headphones with my music blasting, and I'm totally in my own world. I also usually wear heels when I dress up. I was wearing a beige leather dress that night. But because of how far the parking lot was, I decided at the last second to wear flat shoes. That single decision and the fact that I left my headphones off probably saved my life. I was about a block away from my car, crossing the street, when I noticed a man watching me. It was maybe a few years older to 10 years older, but he crossed halfway into the street, but then abruptly doubled back to the exact same block that I was on. I made a left turn at the corner, and he went straight, and I continued walking for a while. I was close to nearing the edge of the block when I turned around, and I realized that the same man that doubled back was walking in the same direction as me, all the way down at the end of the block. I started to panic. I tried to duck into an entrance to get off the street, but I couldn't find my ticket in my purse, and even if I had, there was no way to get in. I was trapped outside. I kept walking and I looked back and he had made a left and was closing the distance. Up ahead, I see three girls who look like they were heading to a club. And I didn't even think twice. I just forced myself into their group and started walking with them. Four of us, one of him. I pulled out my phone and called the police because at that point, he had crossed the street and was right behind us. And he still kept following us. We made a left turn, and the second we had a chance, the girls and I literally sprinted sideways across a crosswalk so that he wouldn't catch up before the light changed. There was a bar right ahead, and we ran right inside, screaming for help. When the man walked past the bar, he didn't even look at me. He just kept walking straight, like he hadn't just spent the last few blocks hunting me down. The absolute second his isolation and privacy were stripped away, he acted like nothing happened. I made it home safe and unharmed because of those three amazing girls, and because I happened to have flat shoes on and no headphones. If I had been at my usual baseline, buzzed, deaf to my surroundings, and unable to run in heels, I don't even want to think about what he would have done to me when I got stuck at that locked entrance. Please, please trust your instincts. If someone feels like they are tracking you, they are. Don't worry about being polite. Make a scene, find a crowd, and don't stop running until you're safe. Here's a scary story posted by an anonymous user on a Reddit post titled, "Has anyone ever had an experience with a child seeing a ghost?" When my daughter was about 4 years old, she came running out of her bedroom into the living room screaming that she saw an old man standing by her closet. Well, about 3 hours later, we get a call from California saying that Virginia, my daughter's great-grandmother, her dad's grandma, had just passed earlier that day. My daughter hadn't seen Virginia since she was about 2 years old, because she moved to California to help her brother who had a broken hip, and so she hadn't been in Georgia in a couple of years. My daughter was Virginia's first great-grandchild, and she loved her dearly, and was so upset the day we saw her off to California, because she didn't want to leave my daughter, and I really feel like to this day, that was Virginia visiting my daughter after her passing. My daughter even picked her out in a picture and said, "Mommy, that's the old man." Virginia had very short hair and wore glasses, so she did kind of look like a man with her old lady short gray haircut and glasses. My daughter is 22 now, and she still remembers this happening when she was little. We had other strange things happen, but This particular occurrence, I remember the most. I was pretty freaked out for a while, and she refused to sleep in that room or play in that room for months after that. Creepy story posted by Mia Wallace 1494 on the Reddit page, "What experience did you have that made you believe that ghosts and spirits 100% exist?" Before moving to England at 25, my partner and I decided I should stay home and rack up some money. It was quite a rough time for us, and stuff started happening in my room that truly just creeped me out. At first, it sounds like steps around my bed, stuff falling in the closet randomly, and my TV always doing this weird thing where it goes static. The only thing was, this was my dad's house since my parents' divorce, which was built in 2016. This was a TV I had bought when I first moved out in 2014. All of this was starting to make me feel a bit freaked out, so I told my best friend since childhood, and she reminded me of stuff happening throughout my childhood. Things that I didn't even think about, including some things that actually caused me harm. Waking up with scratches and a TV falling on me when I was 6. And for all you youngins, that TV weighed like 80 pounds. It's not like the flat ones that we have today. I wasn't able to move that by myself. To which I suddenly got really freaked out. And one night I woke up and I had to use the restroom. I woke up instantly feeling alert, which is unusual. I couldn't move out of fear. And I finally told myself that I was just being silly and to just go use the restroom. So I went to grab my phone off the bedside table. And something, a hand, grasped my wrist. And this woman covered in black muck with the most horrible face screamed in my face. It flew at me, and then, there was nothing. I woke up again to nothing but pain around my wrist. A red mark was visible the next day, and I just continued on. Oh, maybe that was nothing. My now husband came to save the relationship and stayed with me and my dad for a couple of months. And just 3 nights in, I woke up and looked to him as he frantically mumbled and fidgeted around. He was in a massive sweat, and my room likes to sit at a good negative 10 Celsius degrees. He doesn't dream. I tried poking him, just softly saying, it's okay, you can wake up, and he jolted awake, screaming, and what he then said, he has never ever wanted to talk about to this day. He said that he woke up and needed to go to the bathroom, and when he got to the bathroom door, it started shaking. And then slamming out of its hinges, he went to open the door, thinking that it must be my dad. But when the door flies open, this woman in black screamed in his face, and then he woke up. I went out the next day and got sage. I smudged the house before my dad got home from work several times, and I believe it was done, and that, Well, that was paranormal. There wasn't any other way to explain what happened since I didn't tell my partner about my dream or that weird things were happening. We visited last summer, 2025, and one night out of the 7 we stayed at my dad's, I woke up alert. I just thought that it was just going a bit too hard with my hometown friends the night before. So I kind of laughed it off and went to scroll on Instagram. And as I was scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, I then tried to go back to sleep when I heard a sound from the closet. And keep in mind, the room does have blackout curtains now. But when I look at that closet, there was nothing in there but a bed, a small TV mounted on the wall, and a small dresser in the closet, along with board games up top. The only light in the room is the standby light on the TV. And somehow, something stepped into the glow of the standby light slowly, as if they walked up. I stared in disbelief, and then fanned my arms around my bed to make sure that it wasn't some blanket, or maybe some sheet, I don't know, don't judge me. But I didn't flinch, and after a 3-minute stare off, which I assumed to be that long, well, shit, it felt that long, it stepped back from the light. Nothing happened. It just felt like a message of him saying that he was still there. I absolutely believe in the paranormal now, and I don't want to mess with it at all. Here's a scary story posted by I'm Me 1 on a Reddit post titled, "What's the Most Convincing Experience That You've Had?" I've had several experiences, most of which happen at one of the buildings I work at, but this one definitely changed me. I work for a cleaning company and we handle all the housekeeping for a performing arts company. One of the venues is an old Orpheum theater, and from the very first day, things started happening. And it started small, seeing things jump off shelves, hearing distant screams and footsteps right above you. Keep in mind, these old theaters are built with granite, marble, and concrete floors. You can have a couple of hundred people moving around above you and hear talking and shuffling, but you don't hear footsteps. These are solid buildings, so the first time I heard those heavy, thudding footsteps right above me, it was a trip. Now, I wasn't by myself when the tissue jumped off the shelf that first night. A couple of coworkers saw it both times, and they casually said, "Yeah, this place is haunted. You'll get used to it." And what I mean by both times is I saw the tissues jump off the shelf and didn't react or say anything. But then the second row flew off a little harder and farther, and I learned pretty quickly that these things don't like to be ignored. Like I said, I've had several experiences, but the one that changed things for me was when I got chased out of the building. And I'm not the only one who's experienced this. We were finishing up in a different building, then had to go make sure that the theater was cleaned for the show the next day. I tend to get impatient, so instead of waiting for the whole crew, I said that I'd head over and get things started. I came in through a side entrance and all the actors from rehearsal had already left. Security and the PA employees were also gone. It was supposed to just be me there. I started my walkthrough by going to the lowest level and checking backstage first. It's the area most people feel uncomfortable and creeped out in, so I just wanted to get it over with. But that night, the creepy energy wasn't there. I didn't hear anything or feel like I was being watched. It was pretty chill. So I made my way to the front, checked the auditorium, then the lobby, still all good. Checked the men's restroom, then the women's, and I was just about done. But as I left the women's restroom, everything changed. A dark energy flooded the lobby, and I heard a voice coming from the entrance to the auditorium. I couldn't tell what it said, so I stopped and listened. And then I heard the trash bag at the entrance being moved. And I said, "Hello? Someone in there?" And all of a sudden, the door on one of the stalls in the women's restroom I had just come out of started slamming entirely on its own. I looked back at the doorway behind me, and then I heard the trash bag at the entry move again. So I looked back that way And now the bag and the trash can just a foot away from me moved. And then the big guy, aka the coward, got me. Everyone called it the big guy because we believed he was the one with the heavy footsteps and the deep voice screams. I later tried to verify this with an SLS camera app and captured a huge figure a few times. But anyway, like I said, the big guy got me. I didn't get grabbed or anything, but it was the weirdest thing. Every one of my senses except my eyesight, almost like I was hyper aware, was telling me that something huge, fast, and angry had just run up on me and was maybe an inch from the back of my neck. And everything in me screamed, "Get out of there! Get out of there!" I couldn't help it. I turned and moved through the lobby to the atrium and out to the front doors at a speed that wasn't quite a run, but nowhere near a walk. And that feeling stayed on my neck all the way to the atrium doors. I went back to the other building and my girlfriend, who I work with, noticed the look on my face and asked, "Girl, what happened to you?" And all I could do was hand her back her badge and say, "I'm never going to step a damn foot alone in that building again. But it's ready for tomorrow, so I'll be in the car when you're done." And I walked off. It changed me because I've always been the type to avoid and ignore paranormal things. I just don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want to interact with it, and I'm very unwelcoming and essentially closed off to it. And I've always stood my ground and had a zero tolerance policy when things would happen. I'm absolutely sure I've told nothing but totally unhaunted air in a room that it wasn't welcome and to get away from me, even for normal things like a water heater turning on. But after that night, I was fucking pissed. Not only was this thing able to put fear in me, but it was so intense, my body was leaving that fucking building whether my brain told it to or not. So I started doing research and very crude amateur investigations in the building after that night. And after all of that, it felt like I was a boxer who wanted a rematch for the championship that he just lost. And after all of that paranormal investigating, I got a lot of interesting interactions out of it. And that's why I started calling the big guy the coward. He would lurk at a distance anytime someone wasn't alone. And he really didn't like it when I caught him with the SLS app. But yeah, that was the most undeniable experience. You guys know I love telling scary stories, but did you know I also like to cook? Now, when I cook, I'm always looking for high quality meats, and given that I do a lot of online ordering, selecting any sort of meat is always like a gamble. Am I going to get something fresh, or will it be the old meat that's almost off the shelf? Because of that, I'm anxious to order any sort of meat online, and I often have to visit the store in person to pick the quality meat that I want. But what if I told you there's a different solution to all of this? Now, as you may know, I love scrolling Reddit, and I came across this company many people kept posting about named Omaha Steaks, a company that's been around for over 100 years with the same quality meat that you can get at the highest rated restaurants around. Whether it's ribeyes for a special date night with a horror movie, hamburgers for a campfire with some scary stories, or a juicy sausage that you can cut up into tiny pieces in the kitchen, Omaha Steaks has it all. Omaha Steaks is known for their meticulous aging process and vacuum-sealed individual packaging, and is shipped nationwide, arriving frozen and ready to grill, sear, and roast with minimal effort and time. And did you know that they have this really cool offering called the Burger Perfection Flight? For just $79.99, you can get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of steak, including filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. I can't wait to try this flight. I already have my order in, and it's going to be here in no time, and I'll let you guys know just how good it is. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Some deliveries deserve a one-star review. This one deserves an exorcism. Here is a creepy pizza delivery horror story. About 1 year ago, I took a delivery that I will never forget. It was around 9 p.m. on a Saturday, and I had to take two extra large pizzas to an address outside of town, out in the country. I pulled down a very long gravel driveway up to a run-down farmhouse with one porch light acting as a beacon. As I walked up to the house, I noticed Halloween decorations still on the porch. It was the middle of June. There was no doorbell, so I knocked. No answer. I knocked again. Still, no answer. And right as I was about to knock for a third time, the door slowly creaked open. A decrepit male voice said,
"Hold on a sec."
A light came on, revealing an old man in his underwear. The guy must have been in his 70s or older. He had a terrible hunch and stood no taller than about 4'11 to 5 feet. And he was grinning, revealing yellowish black teeth. I told him the total was $17.99. And he asked if I could carry the pizzas inside to the kitchen. Now normally I would say no, but I didn't want this old-timer to hurt himself. Now from what I could see, the house was immaculate. As I approached the kitchen, which was dark, the old man asked me to wait in the hallway so that he could light a candle since the kitchen lights were out. I know, weird, right? As he lit the candle, I could see 5 pickle jars sitting on the counter in front of me. The old man asked me to put the pizzas on the floor next to the counter, so I bent over and placed them down, and as I was getting up, I heard an exhale, whew, and the candles went out. I asked him to light it up again so that I could see, but there was no response. And then I heard the sound of a jar opening, followed by the click of a lighter. The candle lit again, revealing the old man holding a pickle. He said,
"This is Marjorie. She isn't supposed to be awake right now. And since we have a guest who brought food, it's okay."
And at that moment, I wanted to get the hell out of there. But for some reason, I couldn't. He walked over to me, handed me the pickle, and told me to put her next to the pizza box. I did, and I freaking hate pickles. He then paid me, and I booked it out of there. I was very unsettled about this experience, and I just can't explain why he would even do that, why he even had a pickle who he talked to. But one thing I can say I'm grateful for, at least he gave me a tip. My dad's roommate, posted by Sunshine123_. This happened around 3 years ago when I was about 14 years old. My parents had been separated for a long time, and I used to live with my mom during the week and my dad on the weekends. My dad always made significantly less money than my mom. He lived alone in a house that was honestly too damn big for him. Too damn big for one person. And he struggled a lot with paying rent. And then one day, one of his friends asked if he could move in. His friend John needed a place to stay, and my dad needed money. Bad. So John offered to pay every week in exchange for one of the spare rooms. My dad agreed, obviously, and John moved in with us. And since I only stayed there on weekends, I didn't see John that much. But whenever I did, I always felt uncomfortable around him. He wasn't really scary or aggressive or anything. Honestly, he was usually nice. But there was just something off about him that I couldn't explain. I don't mean this in a rude way toward people with mental illnesses, but even back then, I could tell something about him wasn't right, mentally. At some point, he had taken one of the drawers in our bathroom, and one day, I looked inside of it and found tons of pills, like a worrying amount. I had no idea what they were for, and I still don't, but it freaked me out a little. My dad also always had kind of questionable friends, so I already didn't love the idea of living with one of them. I was probably way too paranoid and way too obsessed with horror stuff at the time. But I even remember hiding a kitchen knife under my mattress just in case he ever came into my room while my dad wasn't home. And at the time, it felt more like a comical and ridiculous gesture than a real self-defense weapon, since John had never really given me any reason to be afraid of him. But for some reason, that knife reassured me. Even my dad didn't really like leaving me alone with him. Not because John had ever done anything weird to me, but my dad used to say that he was a little weird. Still, he needed the money, and John was his friend after all. So he stayed with us for around 2 months. The first month was normal. Nothing bad happened. John paid his part of the rent and sometimes even bought groceries for us. Eventually, I got used to him being there. But during the second month, things started getting weird. I didn't know it at the time, but John had stopped taking his medication. My dad and I have a cat, and John started making disturbing comments about it. He'd say weird things about how my dad acted around the cat, implying disgusting stuff that wasn't true at all. At first, it just sounded bizarre more than dangerous. Like I said, he had always been kind of odd. But over time, the comments got more intense and more detached from reality. Eventually, my dad started making sure John was either out of the house or in his room whenever I came over. And then one day, I got to my dad's house and noticed John wasn't there. Like usual, I asked where he was. And that's when my dad told me that he wasn't living with us anymore. And then he had explained what happened. Apparently, John had been acting seriously unstable for the last few weeks. My dad told me about things John had been saying and doing when I wasn't there. Things he never told me to not alarm me, and about how, a few days before I visited, they got into a huge argument. During it, John suddenly accused my dad of sexually abusing our cat, which obviously never happened. My dad told him to get out, but instead, John completely lost it. He started yelling about how my dad had apparently abused me too, how he knew what was going on, and a bunch of other insane stuff. The argument kept getting louder and more aggressive, until it eventually turned physical. Now I'm going to skip some parts, but my dad finally managed to force him outside and called the police when he refused to leave. And when the cops showed up and saw the state he was in, they arrested him and took him away. And after that, we never really heard from John again. But for weeks after it happened, I was terrified every time I went to my dad's house. I kept imagining John just showing up while I was home alone, angry at my dad, completely unstable. Every weird noise in the house would freak me out. But thankfully he never came back. Eventually life moved on. We kind of just stopped thinking about him. His mom came one day to collect his stuff, and after that, he completely disappeared from our lives. Until around 3 months later. One night, my dad sent me a news article, and John was on the front page. and the content made my stomach drop. Like I said before, John had stopped taking his medication. And apparently 3 months after getting kicked out of our house, he ended up going into some kind of psychotic episode. And according to the article, he walked into an apartment building carrying a hammer. He smashed the windows, destroyed parts of the building, and eventually set it on fire. A woman trapped inside her apartment died in the flames, and he violently attacked another person in the building with the hammer before police finally arrested him. The creepiest part was that nobody in the building even knew him. He had absolutely no connection to any of the victims. They were complete strangers. I'm pretty sure he's locked up now. But even years later, my dad and I still think about it sometimes. What would have happened if he had stayed with us? It's crazy to think that we lived with a man accused of first-degree murder months before he snapped. A creepy story by Pitter Patter35. Posted on the Reddit post, has anyone ever had an experience with a child seeing a ghost? My older sister had an imaginary friend named Trini when she was about 2 to 4 years old. She would space out and go places with Trini, which wasn't an issue for my parents at first because they thought she just had a vivid imagination. But it became a problem when my other sister got stuck upside down in the springs of a trampoline. This was the early 90s. And my sister, with the imaginary friend, was spaced out and didn't go get help. Fast forward to now, my sister has a 3-year-old who also has an imaginary friend named Katie. But Katie is also called the Hiding Girl, the Mud Girl, and the Fire Girl. And one night, I had my niece staying over, and she was coloring pictures of Katie. And I said something like, "Wow, that's a nice drawing of Katie." And my niece said, "She's the Hiding Girl, because she's been hiding in my house for a long time." I'm not saying my sister was haunted and passed some kind of entity down to my niece, but I do think it's odd that they both had imaginary friends at the same age that just sort of fizzled out. A creepy story posted by I Don't Think I Care Kinda on the Reddit page, "Tell me the creepiest thing a child has ever said to you." I don't have children, but I have stories. Sorry ahead of time. It's going to be a long one. My father and cousin grew up in the same house. When my parents married and had my sister and I, my dad's entire family still lived there. And we hung out there every weekend during the summer because it has a really nice in-ground pool with a diving board. The entire family would come over for cookouts, and no one ever told me anything about anything being wrong with the house. But I just remember feeling something. Something wasn't right with the house. If I had to go in and use the bathroom, I'd make my sister or cousin come in with me and stand by the door while I went. Nothing ever happened to me, it was just a feeling. But later, as I got older, my dad and his family began telling us stories about things that happened to them in the house. The house is a rancher with 3 bedrooms off the same hallway. My dad said at night, something would walk the hallways and scratch at the walls while it walked up and down. He also saw a cloaked figure at some point and didn't know what it was, but he said that he could feel the evil rippling off of it. And since then, my cousin's in-laws bought it and remodeled the entire house. Then when they retired to a community, my cousin and her family bought the house. And I go over there all the time now, and I don't feel anything anymore. I think it's gone down into the basement because that part of the house still creeps me the hell out. My cousin's daughter has told me that she's experienced things, but nothing too horrible. Now, my second story is about the house that used to belong to my great-grandmother, my mom's grandmother. I remember her vividly, as my grandmother watched my sister and I and took us over there all the time. My grandma's brother, Uncle Charlie, lived with her and he never got married. And he was the youngest of the bunch. He helped my great-grandmother around the house, and when she passed away, she left the house to my Uncle Charlie. And one day, my father, the one who lived in the haunted house as a kid, was steam cleaning the carpets the day before my parents were holding a reunion at our house for my mom's family. And he was doing so such that he backed up while cleaning the carpets so as to not leave footprints in the wet carpet. When he was done, he turned around to put the cleaner away, and then he turned back around, and there were boot marks in the carpet. Not thinking anything of it, he took the cleaner out again and just ran it over and turned around to put it away. But then the same thing would happen. He would look again and there were boot marks in the carpet. He kind of just shrugged it off and fixed them again, and then he went about cleaning the rest of the house. Now the next day was the reunion. It wasn't even a year since my great-grandmother died. Uncle Charlie showed up late that day, something that he never did, and he was acting a little weird. Later that day, he would pass away on the kitchen floor of my parents' house from a massive heart attack. My uncle wound up buying the house that Uncle Charlie and my great-grandmother lived in to keep it in the family. He, my aunt, and my very young cousin Kevin moved in. Kevin lived in Uncle Charlie's old room, which is the only room upstairs. A little after they moved in, Kevin was upstairs playing with some Hot Wheel cars and talking to someone. When my aunt asked him who he was talking to, he said, "My friend Charlie is playing with me." My Uncle Charlie was huge into cars, specifically racing cars. He and my other great uncle owned a racing car parts store, and he had a dedicated garage at the house to work on racing cars. Kevin knew nothing of my Uncle Charlie because he was simply too young, probably 3 or 4 years old at the time. Now one time, Kevin was up there and my aunt found him coming down the stairs backwards. Freaking out, she grabbed him and told him that he shouldn't be using the stairs without a grown-up. His response was, "Charlie told me to go down the stairs backwards so I don't hurt myself." I still get the creeps thinking about this stuff. You grab one, I'll grab the other. A creepy story posted by Complete Fix 1835. The year was 1991 and I was 6 years old living in Winnipeg. My family was already in the middle of an unthinkable nightmare. My 10-year-old sister Robin had just passed away, and I was the only child left, and the grief in our house was heavy and suffocating. I went over to my friend Holly's place just to get out of the house, looking for any shred of normal childhood. We decided to do what we always did, ride our bikes around the block. It was a beautiful, quiet summer day, the kind of afternoon where you feel like nothing bad can happen. But on our third lap around the neighborhood, the atmosphere changed. We noticed a van. It was a beat-up white freezer van with no windows in the back, just a solid, rusted metal shell. And as it pulled up beside us, it didn't just drive past. It slowed to a crawl, and the engine had this horrible, rhythmic rattle to it, a sound like metal grinding on metal. Being so young, we didn't immediately have that stranger danger alarm go off. We were mostly just confused. We actually slowed down and stopped our bikes to see what they wanted, and the van stopped right along with us, idling heavily. The passenger window was already rolled down, revealing a pitch-black interior that seemed to swallow the sunlight. I looked at the passenger, and the image is burnt into my brain. He was gaunt, with yellow teeth and long, frizzy, straggly hair that looked like it hadn't been washed in weeks. And then the world seemed to move in slow motion. The passenger door swung open. The man put one heavy foot out onto the pavement, shifting his weight as he was about to lunge. And at the same time, I heard the heavy clunky thud of the side sliding door beginning to retract. The passenger didn't even look at us. He turned his head back into the darkness of the van and said seven words that I will never forget. "You grab one and I'll grab the other." He said it loud enough for me to hear it clearly, like he didn't even care that we were listening. Pure, cold adrenaline hit us. We didn't scream or cry, we just slammed our feet into the pedals. We were only a few houses away, and I remember my heart hammering against my ribs so hard that it hurt. We didn't even stop to kick our kickstands. We ditched the bikes right on the grass in the driveway and scrambled inside, slamming the front door and throwing the lock. Holly's mom was in the house and was immediately confused. Seeing us burst in, crying and shaking, she assumed that we had just fallen off our bikes and scraped our knees. But we were gasping, trying to tell her that a van was following us. But to her, the rattling engine she could hear outside just sounded like normal street noise. There was no reason for her to be afraid until she looked at us and saw the sheer terror in our eyes. She went to the front window, and her face went completely pale. She saw the van. She watched as it slowly, deliberately crept past the house, almost at a walking pace. With our bikes lying right there on the lawn like neon markers, they knew exactly where we had gone. She stayed by that window, her hand on the lock, telling us that it was going to be okay. But she never took her eyes off the street until that rattling engine finally faded into the distance. When my mom came to pick me up later, she was already a shell of herself from the loss of my sister. Telling her that she had almost lost her only remaining child in the same week devastated her. It was a second trauma piled on top of a fresh wound. It's a weight that I still carry, realizing that if we had been just a few seconds slower, my mother's world would have completely extinguished. To the man with the yellow teeth and the people in the back of that rattling white van, let's not meet. A creepy story posted by Mad for the Win on the Reddit post, "What's the scariest thing you've ever witnessed?" I was exploring a so-called haunted house with my two friends before they tore it down. I'd heard stories, felt things, and even had phantom footsteps approach, but nothing to make me fully believe in the paranormal. Now, I'm more of a realist. I investigate because I'm interested in finding more. I'm open to it. It was our last exploration before demolition. And while me and one of my friends were looking around at the dated time capsule of a living room, our other friend had gone on his own. We were not concerned about this because that was pretty typical, as my friend and I made our way up through the two floors, photographing beautiful vintage furniture and amazing decor. We just chatted casually, and at one point, he called out to our other friend, but we would hear nothing back. Getting a little worried, we kept saying his name, thinking maybe he stepped out because of the poor air quality. And then I would send him a quick text, "Where are you?" And immediately, we heard the chime of an incoming text message from below us. We made our way down and called out to him until we found him in the basement, staring at a brick wall, rocking back and forth, very trance-like. We said his name only to have him come to awareness when my friend touched his shoulder. He seemed a little startled and confused. The basement had a weird energy, and thinking maybe we just needed a break, we head outside. Walking back to our house, the guy says nothing. A normal jokester. He does not talk, does not engage, is just blank. My friend and I notice the shift and ask if he's all right, and he nods. We get back to my house and my friend and I go in and the other friend just stays outside, quietly smoking a cigarette. In the kitchen, my friend said, "Dude, Matt is acting a little weird, right?" And I said, "Yeah, man, I hope he's okay." My friend, being a believer in the paranormal, half jokingly says, "Yeah, I hope he's not possessed." And from right behind us, "What are you guys talking about?" Matt says, scaring the shit out of me and my friend. When I tell you his eyes were all black, I mean, I've seen shit like that in movies, but the expression on his face was mischievous. He came in the front door and walked to where we were in the kitchen without making a single noise, which is hard to do with a metal-type front door and creaky floors. And also, the guy isn't light-footed. He always has a pocket full of change and lighters and whatnot, and normally he moves like a bull in a china shop. He scared the shit out of us, and I don't know whatever happened to him. I hadn't seen him much after that, but I'll never forget the look on his face or how he was swaying in front of that brick wall in the basement of the old house. Creepy Disneyland story commented on one of my Instagram posts, commented by Southern Cow Guy. I worked at a resort for 12 years. I started at Disneyland Hotel, and when I was working a graveyard shift, we would randomly get calls to the front desk saying that guests would hear a young child, possibly 5 to maybe 9 years old, playing in the hallways. It was in the Frontier Tower on what I believe was the 6th or 7th floor. Can't quite remember it too well. We would send security, but every time they went to investigate, they would see nothing. And nothing was ever caught on camera. Just guests claiming that they can hear a little child. Rumors are that a young child choked on a candy in the 60s or 70s and passed away. But nothing I know was substantiated. A creepy story posted by Chrysanthemum 1926 on a Reddit post titled, "Has anyone seen anything creepy on rural roads and highways?" My dad grew up in a very small, very rural village in central Ohio in the 80s. When he was a teenager, his mom was driving him home from a marching band event down a long, unlit road. It was between 11 p.m. and midnight, and on either side of the road, there were grassy ditches no more than 4 feet deep, and then miles and miles of flat cornfields, which were pretty barren since it was the middle of winter. At some point in the darkness, they came across a woman, barefoot, walking in the ditch parallel to the road, wearing only a nightgown. She did not flag them down or turn as the car passed, nor did she have a flashlight or any other items with her. Both my dad and my grandma remember her looking unkempt, like she had just rolled out of bed after being sick, and strikingly pale, even by Midwest standards, to the point that her skin looked transparent. By the time they realized what they had seen, they had passed her, but they both felt a pit in their stomach, worrying that the woman was very ill or in danger, since there were not any houses or buildings of any kind for miles. The temperature was below freezing. They would turn around, no more than half a mile after passing her, but as they drove past the area they had saw her walking, she was gone. They circled the area several times, even pulling over and walking the ditch by foot. But there was no trace of the woman. Even if she had run into the fields, it would have been pretty hard to hide on such flat, lifeless terrain. My grandma is staunchly practical and has never believed in the paranormal, but her and my father both expressed feeling haunted by that experience to this day. My dad feels certain that they encountered a ghost. My grandma has suggested that the woman was a phenomenal sleepwalker who got startled by the car lights and hid. I always wondered if it was something more sinister.